We are going to be talking about the play of the game here momentarily. Just to remind you again, live remote 2 weeks from tonight, October 27th at Richmond BMW at, 8720 West Broad Street. We'll have some door prizes, food and drink, hopefully some special guests in, not in studio, but at the location with us, at the dealership with us. And we really hope a bunch of Wahoo fans will come out and join us. So let's – do we have the clip? We don't have the clip. We thought we might have had the clip of the play of the game, but minus the clip, we will allow Frank Maloney to describe it. It is the play of the game, sponsored this fall by our friends at LeClaire Ryan. Frank?
Late in the second quarter, Virginia was trailing by a few points, although the other team had held the ball forever. The Cavaliers finally put together a nice drive, and on second and two, just inside the Georgia Tech 40-yard line, UVA went with a seven-man line and then motioned a tight end to the receiver's side to create a strong side. The play was a simple fullback dive with Max Million just taking a slide step to the weak side and heading upfield. UVA's line executed a perfect hat-on-hat blocking assignment. Max avoided a Georgia Tech linebacker, and the converted tailback was gone for a 37-yard touchdown that gave UVA a 7-3 lead. It was Max Million's first rushing TD of his career, and it gave Virginia the lead. It was very exciting, and hopefully we'll see more of that in the weeks ahead.
Absolutely, and it brought the crowd at Friday's to life. At our game-watching party, had some folks out at Friday's short pump to watch the game. It was a good time had by all. Would have been even a better time if Virginia had won the football game. But
Everybody there won a prize, too.
That is, that's true. That's the good news about a smaller crowd. Prizes for everybody. Also, coming up this weekend, my co-host Frank Maloney will be the moderator once more at the Chalk Talk event at Alumni Hall, which is approximately 2 hours before kickoff, so that would make it right around 4 o'clock or so.
Right.
Former UVA tight end fullback Case Luzar will be the featured speaker, and do you have somebody else or just Case?
Yes, he's bringing one of his teammates, and I've misplaced his name. But
okay.
It was a defensive player, and one of his roommates are best friends. So.
Well, if you can steal yourself away from whatever tailgate you're at and go over to Alumni Hall, you can hear Case questioned and interviewed by Frank Maloney, and I guess you take questions from those assembled as well, right?
Oh, yeah, and there's lots of prizes. The Saber provides all kinds of fun prizes, and I'll take a few prizes up there as well. On behalf of Who's Talking.
And I should mention that. It is sponsored by the Saber.
Right.
And they sponsor us as well.
And presented overall, obviously, by the Alumni Association.
And I think there was talk about it, having Hobo at the last home football game, right? For that talk probably went away.
No, we might bring you out there.
You know, to have a little sneak basketball preview as we get closer to hoop season and practice in that regard, I guess, starts officially this Friday, October 15th.
Which is hard to believe in Hobo.
Yeah. I used to hate October 15th.
You actually had to run.
You know, when Bobby Call said you play like you practiced, if I played like I practiced, I would have never gotten in the game. You know, well, that was not a big enthusiast of practice. But anyway, that's another story for another day.
Who Gibson said you were a gamer?
That's right. You know, I always said, Bobby said you play like you practice. I always argued that was one of three possibilities. I've seen guys that were All-Americans in practice and couldn't play in the game and go on from there. But anyway, we're headed to Michael Tusky now for the Olympic sports update.
Hey, guys, I'll start with men's soccer. The number 3 Virginia men's soccer team is 8-2-2. How about that's wins, losses, and ties? Just to make sure everyone's clear on that. And
particularly Hobo.
Yeah, I'm not real sharp on that.
They're 1-2-1 in ACC play. The team creamed Alabama A&M 10-0 on Saturday night at Klockner Stadium.
10-0 soccer game?
That is a soccer game. That is correct.
Wow.
They scored a touchdown and kicked a field goal.
You talk about unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yep. Brian Ownby of Deep Run High School and Will Bates of Thomasdale High School, two local guys, each scored 2 goals. The 10-0 goals scored were the most for a Virginia team since 1989, and they were one shy of the 11-goal record, which was last accomplished in 1981 versus the University of Richmond. And remember, that was before UVA became a national powerhouse, winning all those titles in the early 90s. They scored 11 goals. Last night, the Cavaliers, on the other end of the spectrum, the Cavaliers played to a 0-0 overtime tie with number 25, James Madison. However, the match extended the team's unbeaten streak against non-conference opponents to 20 games. Next, Virginia hosts in-state rival Virginia Tech for a 7 p.m. game on Friday. Not surprisingly, the Hokies come to Charlottesville unranked. The Virginia women's soccer team is ranked number 6 and has a record of 8-3-1 and 2-2-0 in the ACC. They lost at home for the first time this season, 1-0 in overtime, to number 3 North Carolina on Friday night. Chantel Jones of Clover Hill High School made 4 saves for the Cavaliers. The team hosts 2 ACC games in the coming days at Klockner Stadium. Duke comes to town for a 7 p.m. matchup tomorrow, while the Cavaliers will face Wake Forest at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday. Moving on to field hockey, the number 4 team is now 11-1. This past week, they defeated Longwood 2-0 on Wednesday evening and recorded a big win over number 3 Princeton 2-1 on Friday in Charlottesville. An impressive statistic, the team is now 6-1 against ranked opponents this season. That will be put to the test on Saturday when the Cavaliers face number 1 North Carolina in Chapel Hill. The team returns home to host William & Mary on Monday at 6 p.m. at the University Hall turf field. It was an historic weekend for the Virginia men's tennis team at the ITA All-American Championships at the University of Tulsa. First, the Cavaliers became only the 3rd school ever to have 3 players advance to the singles quarterfinals. The players were Sanam Singh, Drew Courtney, and Alex Domyan. Previously, Southern Cal had accomplished this feat in 1984 and Stanford in 1990. Domyan advanced to the final and beat Eric Quigley of Kentucky to become just the 3rd freshman ever to win the event, and he also became the 1st Cavalier to win the title, as it had only been the only major individual title that UVA had not previously won. After advancing to the doubles final, the team of Drew Courtney and Michael Shabazz beat Chase Buchanan and Blaz Rolla of Ohio State to win the doubles title. UVA became just the 5th school to ever sweep both the singles and doubles titles at the tournament. Great job, guys. Maybe this year the team will win it all next spring. Moving on to swimming. Swimming has actually started as people around the area are closing up their swimming pools, so it kind of doesn't make sense, but that's the way the schedule works.
It's called an indoor pool.
I think I've seen one or two of those before.
Oh, my gosh.
The men's team opened up the season with their first ever dual meet victory over the University of Florida on Monday in Gainesville. That was the men's team. The women's team sadly came up short. They lost by 2 points, 150-148, to the defending national champion Gators. The Florida Gators won the national championship in women's swimming last year. So we were able to win our first match with the men, but women came up short, but they are the national champion.
Well, Mark Bernardino, he's got a dynasty going in Charlottesville on the swimming, both men and women. I forget right off the top of my head, but they've won like 10 out of 11 years ACC title in men's swimming. And hopefully we'll have Brian Bolin on before too long, the tennis coach, and George Gelnovich, the soccer coach. Those are folks that we need to have on before too long to let them bring us up to date with their season. And as Frank Maloney moves away from the microphone and coughs, I should point out that my co-host is playing hurt tonight. He's done a heck of a job trying to mask that little sinus infection, cold, whatever, trying like the dickens to make Michael Tusky and Jim Hobgood sick by being in this confined space with him. So next week, we'll sound as bad as Frank sounds tonight.
It's okay. We only need one person on the mic. Let's look at this Carolina game. Let's break it down. Virginia's coming off 2 relatively brutal losses against top-notch competition, coming up against a hot Carolina team, however, an embattled team, and a team that's really under the microscope with the NCAA and the media scrutiny, and a team that probably matches up with us better than the people we've been playing lately. Haba, what's your prediction for the game?
That's interesting, I really haven't heard people talk about football from a matchup standpoint. Greg Waters made that point. I think Bobby Call, when he was here, said something about that, and certainly Charles McDaniel did. This is really a big game for the program, I think. Carolina, I think everybody agrees, has maybe more talent than Virginia does. Virginia is playing at home. Hopefully we'll have a good turnout of both fans and students, not that students aren't fans. So I would love to see Virginia find a way to win the game. So as a consequence, I'm going to go Virginia 24-21.
high-scoring affair. How about you, Michael?
Once again, Habo and I's scores are pretty similar. I'm going UVA 24, UNC 17.
I'm going to go 17-14, remembering back to the game back in 1983, figuring that this game is going to be fought tooth and nail. I think every first down will be a big deal. I certainly expect Virginia to come ready to play, particularly against the run. And I'm sure Coach Reed is beating it into their heads this week that they've got to win their matchups along the line of scrimmage, and the linebackers have to fill the gaps, and the strong safety has to come down hard and meet the running back, you know, in the hole. So,
well, and I think Bobby Call made a good point. I think it's important, particularly playing at home, where you're a home underdog, get off to a good start, maybe Virginia score early, get an early lead, get the crowd into the game. As we've discussed, it should be a fantastic night for football in Charlottesville. Get the crowd in the game, get the players, everybody else excited. I think that gets the defense pumped up. But certainly Virginia's going to have to find a way to move the football, and Carolina's defense is playing pretty well. So that's going to be critical as well.
Interesting aspect about this game, little tidbit. A couple of years ago, Mark Verica was playing in relief, and he actually had a decent game, leading the Cavaliers down the field at home 2 years ago. The sun had set. The lights were on. It was a very dark sort of night, and somehow went right down the field with some beautiful passing. And next thing you know, it's overtime, and all I can remember is Cedric Pierman breaking off left tackle and walking into the end zone. They never really bothered to try to tackle him. And the game ended, and I remember the Virginia players were dancing at that end, the horseshoe end of Scott Stadium. They were dancing in the lights and the flash bulbs going off. And this game could be that type of game. It could be the last drive of the game. And we'll see if Mark Verica can recapture some of that magic.
Well, you look at the Carolina game notes, and I think it says that North Carolina hasn't had a turnover in two consecutive games. If they make it three games in a row, that could be a bad sign for Virginia. I think the Cavs are going to have to find a way to force a turnover or two, get an opportunity on offense to have a short field where they can get down and hopefully get in the end zone. The kicking game is going to have to do well. If you have field goal opportunities, Robert Randolph's going to have to convert.
Punt return
special teams, everything. They're just going to have to take advantage. The coaches always talk about execution, but the execution is going to have to be flawless. Maybe get a couple of breaks and try to steal one against the old Tar Heels.
You know, looking here, just to change the subject briefly, Cavaliers in the NFL week five. I'm not sure if everybody's been staying on top of this thing, but Kansas City Chiefs have had a very good start to the season. Brandon Albert and Thomas Jones, two Wahoos reunited out there in KC, have had a great season so far. They struggled in a loss to the Colts, but overall, they're having a lot of fun out there in Kansas City. They're 3-1 and very exciting. The New York Jets are off to a tremendous start. DeBrickashaw Ferguson, left tackle for the Jets, has looked great and, in fact, pretty much beat up on the Vikings the other night. Steelers were off, but they're back this week against the
Mighty Cleveland Browns, Heath Miller and James Ferrier.
Right, we got to see those guys. Matt Schaub has had a pretty darn good start this season. They've hit a couple of speed bumps the last few weeks, but I expect the Texans to bounce back this week. And Matt Schaub, he's got to be classified as one of the elite quarterbacks now. He's doing very well. Cedric Pierman is not playing much, but he's on the Bengals team. Jonathan Stupar, tight end, plays for the Bills. He had a nice, caught a nice pass for 10 yards last week for the Bills. Chris Cook has been battling injuries for the Vikings. Ogletree appeared in the last game, the Dallas loss to the Titans. It might be interesting to see if he gets some more reps. And Jason Snelling, if playing fullback for the Falcons, has been playing great. I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he's racking up some nice yards, and Atlanta is doing quite well. They're 4-1 this year.
That's interesting. You get down that list, and say what you want about Al Groh, but over his tenure, he recruited some quality players that obviously are playing at the next level and doing it well.
And train them well. Chris Canty is playing well for the Giants. Clint Sintem is playing well for the Giants. Chris Long and the Rams are surprising 2-3, and it could very easily be 3-2. So Very interesting to see the Cavaliers in the pros.
Absolutely, and the VAF will expect their checks, you know, in support of their alma mater as they're getting those big NFL paydays. At any rate, we're winding our way down to our last break. Frank Maloney is talking. He handed me a note here about the UVA bookstore. Save 25% off regularly priced UVA imprinted clothing and gifts every Friday before a home football game at the UVA bookstore. Now, I know a lot of our Richmond audience won't necessarily be in Charlottesville on Friday, but if you do have occasion to go up the night before the game, please stop by and support our sponsor, the UVA bookstore. All right, let's go to our final break, and we'll come back and basically, talk about next week's show as well as our live remote.